Let's go to the Father in prayer before we spend some time in a sermon all on prayer. Father in heaven, we approach you, and we are free to do that because of the wonderful and effectual work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We had no position before you. We had no ability to come before you as guilty sinners to ask anything of you, let alone to make any bold request. But it is because of our Savior and His work that we have the ability and stand in His righteousness before you now, to ask boldly that you would not just help us with your word, but that you would apply it to our heart, that we would glorify you with what we hear and see in your word this morning, that you would change us and sanctify us, edify us, Lord, in this time as we take to your word. And there are many needs, many requests that we have. We just ask, Lord, that you would be with our congregation, that you would hear our prayers, that you would protect us and keep us from the evil one, that you would help us, Lord, with boldness and with courage to live our life as you've called us to live, as witnesses here in this world, amongst all the wickedness. Lord, I do ask that you would be with the family of those children that have lost their lives recently in that tragic accident, the ATV, that you would minister to them, and that this person that caused this accident, that you would bring them to a point of confession. And Lord, that you would use situations like these to help people to know that life is a vapor. And so we ought to make right with you and to stop turning from you and running from you. And so we ask, Lord, that you would use your Spirit to draw people even now in the midst of these things, as heartbreaking of a time that this may be for those families and the loved ones and for so many others across the globe dealing with things like this. And you use all of this to draw man to yourself. And so, Father, we ask that today would be a day of salvation, and that you would even use this sermon today to draw our attention to you and to draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones that said, "Our ultimate position as Christians is tested by the character of our prayer life." You can say much of somebody when you find out what their prayer life is. And that's for anybody, not just Christians. Our ultimate position as Christians is tested by the character of our prayer life. And beloved, this morning's sermon is titled, "Let Us Remember to Pray." Because we need to remember to pray. As simple as prayer is, Ephesians chapter 6, verse through 20. Lord willing, we will finish Ephesians 6 next week. But for now, our focus is on prayer. Our focus is on prayer. One of the greatest blessings that a child of God has is their access to the throne room of God in prayer. One of the greatest resources that we have in Christ is prayer. And it is gifted to us. It is gifted to us. It comes through the effectual work of Christ on the cross. It is because of that sacrifice and that price that was paid there on that rugged cross, that we have this precious, precious gift of prayer. It is the only way that a guilty sinner can stand before a holy God, is if that sinner is covered by the righteousness of Christ, covered by His blood. And beloved, if we would go back all the way back to Ephesians chapter 1, we would even read where Paul writes there that believers are even seated in heaven right now with Christ. We have a divine and heavenly and spiritual position in Christ right now. But it is only through Christ, so it is truly a gift. And so children of God are not peasants that go before God who offers everlasting bread. And in fact, is the very owner of every storehouse of bread, endless storehouses of bread. The Christian is not a peasant that needs to crawl, beg, timidly, or fearfully for crumbs. Beloved, because of Christ, we can walk right into the throne room of God, and we can ask boldly, whatever it is that God has given to us for our request. Boldly. No fear. Without any ounce of being timid. Confidence is what we could have walking through in prayer. Do you doubt this? And we can doubt this. We can definitely doubt this. But would you believe that the Father views every one of our prayers in this way where He is holy and purely anticipating us coming to Him? It is absolutely delight to God for us to go to Him. When we go to Him, it is almost as if He is to say, daughter, there you are. I've missed you. What is it? Tell me whatever it is that you want. Ask whatever it is that you want, and it's yours. If our view of God is not that, then our view of God is drastically, drastically short. And perhaps we are worshiping a God that we shouldn't be. He absolutely loves us with the same love that He loves His Son, because we are in His Son, beloved. So when we go to Him, He misses us as though it's been a long time, even if it hasn't. Even if it hasn't. And so I ask again, do you doubt this? I've been there before, where I've doubted this. And what a miserable state that I was in. Absolutely miserable. And what changed it? What causes it to shift? What causes prayer to move from just simple, cold practice and routine practice to absolutely pure praise and delight? Is your prayer just practice? Or is it praise? Is it praise? Do you have joy in your heart when you go to Him, knowing that you're going to God Almighty, the God of the universe? What is the difference? It's faith. Faith. And at times we lack it. But what changes it? And it's not the knowledge of the cross. It is absolutely the believing in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not just being aware of the cross. It is believing in the cross. It is by faith believing in the cross that our God, the Father, sent our Savior, Jesus Christ, to that cross for our salvation and for us to have unhindered, unrestricted, no time limit. Not a particular occasion where we are only called to come to Him, but absolute freedom to go to God all the time and in any time. Nothing to hold us back. Do we remember the Israelites on the foot of the mountain begging? They did not want to go up the mountain because of their fear of God. And yet, we can, even with the fear of God, approach the throne of grace because of what Christ has done. We can look forward to going to Him. We can look forward to going to Him. And He says, come. He absolutely says, come. And would the one that draws you to Him all of a sudden ignore you when you are there making your request? Absolutely not. He says, come. Would you? Would you go? When is the last time that you have went to Him in prayer? Like really went to Him in prayer? And if you went to Him in prayer this morning, why did you leave? Why did you leave your prayer? It's so good to be with Him. You said, well, I got to go to church, Lord, so we're going to talk about this later, right? Look down in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And I'm going to read from 18 to 20, and we'll just give our attention there this morning. I will be reading several scriptures. They're listed. Thank you, Paul. Brother, I appreciate your ministry. So if I move fast, they're there. There's an outline of scriptures, at least in the front, if you were not able to pick it up upon entering. But for the sake of my heart wants to run to this passage and preach, and my heart wants to run to the Lord's table at the same time, and I can't do both. And so we want to make right on both of them. But if you have your Bibles open and you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, follow along as I read. Paul writes, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now I'll show you my cards right away. We're going to be focusing on verse 18 predominantly. Predominantly. Where we see four different alls that Paul gives us. Four different alls that Paul gives us. And then 19 and 20 is just an ancient prayer request from Paul. And we'll look at that a little bit with the time that we have left. But let's look at the first all, if you will. There at verse 18. The first all is with all prayer and petition. With all prayer and petition. What is this? What is prayer and petition? Prayers are simply general praises of adoration and the giving of thanks, as well as, you know, general requests. Praises of adoration, praising God because of who He is, right? And also thanking Him because of who He is and what He's done. And then also these general requests, prayers. Then what is petition? Petition seems to be something more particular, a more particular need. But to be honest, it doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes they're general and sometimes they're particular. And What I think Paul is doing with these two words is I think that he is showing us the scope and the variety of how we can go to God our Father. The scope and the variety of how we can go to Him. All prayer, all petition. There's a variety of prayers. There's a variety of petitions. So really there is no limit to our prayers as far as the kind of prayers, and that's probably why in the NIV that word kind is put there. All kinds of prayers. All kinds. Variety. Right? And that's good because we have a variety of needs, right? But I want us to notice something first, is something that's not there. Notice this, that Paul does not speak to us about the type of Christian that is supposed to bring all types of prayers and petitions. What do I mean by that? He doesn't say pastors with all prayer and petitions, or missionary, or whatever, you fill in the blank. He doesn't do that. This is a general call to the church to pray. And remember, we are in light of the armor of God, where not just the church in Ephesus, but the church in general is being called to stand and to resist the schemes of Satan. And now he's calling the same church, the universal church, to not just stand, but also to pray. But he doesn't give the type of Christian. Men, women, elders, deacons, greeters, ushers. Are you a part of this church? Well, then you're called to pray. Are you part of the church, the global church, the universal church? Then you are called to pray. Adults and even children. Yes, children are called to pray. A child goes with her father to an ice cream stand and her eyes open up with awe as she looks at all of the flavors. Have you been there? For Marissa and I, growing up in Anaheim, it was going to Thrifty's. And it was like, you just saw them. And in my little head, I thought, there is not a bowl created large enough for what I'm thinking about, you know. So a child goes with her father to the ice cream stand. She looks with amazement. She walks right up to the counter in full confidence and says, "Triple banana split, please." What does the attendant do? Does he immediately begin to scoop 9 scoops of ice cream and split 3 bananas? That's what a triple banana split is. Does he do that? No. Absolutely not. Why? Because he's waiting for the parent. He's waiting for the father because the father is the one that's going to pay for it. Right? And so the daughter's request, this young girl's request, is somehow at this fork in the road. It's stalled temporarily. Right? It is absolutely not like that with prayer. It is absolutely not like that with prayer. You see, she had to wait on her father's approval because he's paying. But every single person that has access to the throne of grace has access there because that debt that was required for them to get in there has already been paid in full by Jesus Christ. So we can go in there and ask for whatever flavor we want. Triple. Throw some whipped cream. Dairy free if you need to. And whatever else you need. But you just have to go. You have to go. You can't get any ice cream unless you go and ask. Right? I should not do another illustration about food or people are going to leave. Notice this common word that's through this verse, all. So there's no condition on what kind of Christian can come. All Christians, young and not, can come. But what about all? All petition. When you went to Him in prayer this morning, did you lay it all before Him? Not some, not most, not even almost, all, all. Beloved, have you offered all your prayers before Him? Is there anything left in your prayer tank? Do you leave the presence of this gracious Heavenly Father with an unspoken request? Why? Make sense for that, or with that for me. Why? He tells us, bring all. He tells us to lay all down before Him, to cast all cares before. Why? Why would we run out soon? Perhaps our prayers are so short because there is so much unsaid. Perhaps our prayers are so brief because there is so much that is unasked for. Should it surprise us if we don't have what we don't ask for? If He was to tip you over and shake, oh, what fearful and doubt-filled prayers would fall right out of us. He knows our hearts. He knows our struggles. He knows our concerns. He knows all of man's needs. He knows our requests before we even ask them. And all of our needs, all of our fears, they stack up like thousands of little grains in a salt shaker. And all He needs to do is nudge us for a few to pop out. Are we daring Him to nudge? How much more would come out if He was to turn us on our side? But beloved, I am asking us to genuinely, when you go to Him in prayer, not just turn the shaker upside down, beloved, but take the complete cap off so that there is no hindering of any request made before God. He is the one that says all prayer, all petition. We would be absolutely foolish to not take Him up on this. Do we not remember in Matthew 7 when He says this in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask of Him? This is not a new verse. I did not just write this into our Bibles. We know this, right? Why? Why do we not take all? Doubt will creep in and it will keep us from asking for all. What can we ask for? Ask Joshua what he can ask for. Ask Hannah what you can ask for. Ask Daniel what you can ask for. Ask Elijah what you can ask for. Ask a prodigal son's father what you can ask for. ask the centurion, and the officials are the synagogue officials what you can ask for. Ask the blind what you could ask for. And by all means, do not forget to ask the thief on the cross what you could ask for. Because in Luke 23, 42, it says, "And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Why would we not ask for all? Why would we leave the time of prayer so quick? When you go home later, pray, and then I might not see you tonight for evening service if you're asking for all. But the key is that we need to remember. Because even in being told this, we can forget, right? The first all is all prayer and petition. The second all is praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. We can come before God at all times. I can remember as a teenager, I had a job at Knott's Berry Farm. And I can remember that if you wanted to return back into Knott's Berry Farm after leaving, you had to let them stamp your hand. Then you would come back and they would put a black light over your hand to see if you had the stamp, and then they would let you in. And that would give you your access back and forth, you know, as free as you wanted. And you know what, beloved? That's kind of how we have prayer. We can come in and out of prayer all throughout our day. All throughout our day. We don't have to purchase entry all over again. But I also remember some sneaky people that would spray some Aquanet on their hands and try to transfer the stamp to a friend that was unwilling to pay the price of entry to sneak in. Sometimes it worked. And sometimes their hand just like turned into one glowing thing. It's not like that with prayer, though. It's not like that with prayer. We can't transfer any access. The only way that you can get in to the throne room of God and see this throne of grace is through Christ. That's it. No transfer. We can't buy our loved ones safe entry to heaven or into the throne room of God. They have to have Christ as their own Savior. And having Christ as their Savior, now they have access to that throne room. If you have Christ as your Savior, then you have access to the throne room. So what does that mean? That means if you do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, you absolutely have no access to the throne of grace. And every prayer that you can think of, you might as well stop and formulate all prayer that you would ask and turn it into one. And that's the prayer for God to save your soul. And the moment that God saves your soul, now you could ask all prayer and all petition at all time. King David in Psalm 5:3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice, and in the morning I will order my prayer to you. And eagerly watch." In a few weeks we'll be in Psalm 119, there, verse 62. "At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances." As Paul wrote with Silvanus and Timothy, they were said to be an earnest prayer night and day in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. What does this mean? It means that the throne of grace is always open, beloved. There's no restriction. There are no hours of operation that are placed, you know, as a placard outside of the throne of grace. The throne of grace is always, always open. Because our God is not a God that sleeps or slumbers. That's in Psalm 121, verse 4. "Nor is he like Baal, who may need to relieve himself, or is on some long journey, or is musing and thinking about things, and so he's away from us." And you know what? The Lord is also not like the wicked king that's spoken of in Luke 18. Let me read verses 1 through 7 in Luke 18. Listen to this, wicked judge. It says, now he was, speaking of Jesus, he was telling them, the disciples, a parable to show at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? He told them that prayer so that they would know they can always go to him. They can always approach God in prayer. But there is one condition. It is that we are to pray with all types of prayers and petitions all the time, but also in the Spirit. So what is it to be in the Spirit? Paul is speaking about the harmony that we can have with the Holy Spirit in our prayer requests. The things that the Holy Spirit is bringing about in us, we can pray for those same things, and therefore we are praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 through 27 says this, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so what is happening here is Paul is pointing out how the Holy Spirit aids the saint in prayer and says that in the same way the Spirit also helps in our weakness. The word help is the same word that's used of Martha when Martha is working so hard to get things in order when Jesus is there and Mary is just at Jesus' feet. And Martha goes to Jesus and says to Jesus, get Mary to help me. It's a word that describes having so much loaded on you that you cannot carry it. And so the Holy Spirit is able to take all of that which is loaded on us and carry it up to heaven for us. Because we can't do it on our own. And we don't know how to do it. He helps in our weakness. And this is a weakness that describes not just physical weakness, not just emotional weakness, but also spiritual weakness. It encompasses a large array of weaknesses. So therefore, when we come to God, it's not just hours on a clock that we can come to Him, but in all conditions, in all seasons of life, at all situations in our life, we can go to the Father in prayer. But the question remains, will we remember to go to Him? So we go to Him with all prayer, all petition, at all times, in the Spirit, and the third one is with all perseverance. With all perseverance. It says, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. This is the manner in which we can go to Him in prayer. How? How do we go? The word perseverance is a word that is speaking about our commitment and our devotion to prayer. our commitment and devotion to prayer. And we need to have commitment. We need to be devoted to prayer. 1 Peter 4:7 reminds us. Listen to what Peter says. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. For the purpose of prayer. Sound judgment. Sober in spirit. This is so that nothing gets in the way of our devotion. Nothing gets in the way of our devotion. And if we were to look at examples of devotion and prayer in the Scripture, there is one example that far exceeds all the rest. And that is the Lord Jesus' example and His devotion in prayer. And just Google Jesus prayed and you will have dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of Jesus praying. He prayed at His baptism and while others were being baptized to even begin the ministry. He prayed before He selected His disciples. In Luke 6:12 it says, "It was at this time that He went off to the mountain to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer to God." His example in prayer demonstrates devotion. Mark 1:35, "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there." He prayed before feeding the 5,000. He prayed before Lazarus was raised from the dead. And He prayed before He was called to drink God's cup of wrath for you and for me, that we would pray. Aren't we glad that the Lord has had a devotion to prayer? I will tell you one person that I know for a fact is glad that he had a devotion to prayer, and that's Peter. Listen to what is written by Luke in Luke 22, 31 through 32. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter was thankful for God's intercession, Jesus' intercession and prayer for him. And wouldn't you know that Jesus' devotion to prayer was not just here on earth? Because Romans 8:34 tells us that even now at the right hand of God, He's interceding for the saints. And Hebrews 7:25 tells us that it's His life. He lives to make intercession for the saints. He's devoted to prayer. He is our loving example of devotion to prayer. Have you ever spent more than a day, with somebody? You're at their home. You kind of do the things that they do, right? They have coffee. They ask you for coffee. At least they should, or they're in trouble. But when they eat, they don't just like serve themselves. At least they shouldn't, and then just like wait for you to kind of do your own thing, right? You eat with them. They host you, right? They host you. Would we walk with the Lord who lives to make intercession for the saints and yet not pray? Would we be walking with the Lord and not praying with the Lord? Have we convinced ourselves that we can walk with the Lord step by step by step? And then when He goes off to pray, which is something that Jesus does frequently, will He not pray? Did He not teach His disciples how to pray when He was here on earth? Do we not believe that the one who taught His disciples how to pray on earth cannot teach His current disciples how to pray from heaven? The devotion that the Lord has to prayer It should encourage us to pray. The fourth all is for all the saints. For all the saints. This is prayer for the church. Prayer for the church. If prayer, and I will argue that it is and will hold my ground, if prayer is one of the greatest blessings that we have and most powerful resources that we have in Christ, how loving of a thing is it for us then to utilize this blessing and this resource for others and pray for others? When somebody says, "I'll pray for you," are you realizing that the greatest that they have, they are giving to you? Because that is the greatest thing that they have. If someone says, "I am praying for you," what they are actually saying is that they are going before God Almighty, who owns everything and is able to help everything and rescue everyone and hear all of our prayers. They are going to them and they are bringing your requests to them or to God for you on your behalf. How blessed is it then to be the recipient of someone's prayer? Do we think of prayer like that? Or do we think that there are other earthly resources that we can do that will solve the dilemma better than a spiritual one? This is prayer for all the saints. And we all need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We need prayer. Our church needs prayer. The church needs prayer. Pray for pastors and for missionaries and church planters and deacons and Sunday school teachers and Bible translators. But also pray for seminary professors and presidents and academics. And pray for nursery workers, even right now, ours. Pray for Christian parents and grandparents. Pray for Christian kids that are being raised in unbelieving homes. And for the Lord's sake, pray for Christian parents of wandering children. Right? Unbelieving children. Pray for the sick, but don't forget to pray for the healthy. Pray for the poor Christians, but also pray for the rich Christians. Pray for our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Beloved, pray for congregations searching for shepherds and for shepherds searching for congregations. I can list so many more, but you get the point. Pray for all of the saints. Pray for all of the saints, because we are all called to stand and resist Satan in this time, in this evil time. We all need prayer. Paul made it a habit in his letters to write the recipients and to remind them that he was praying for them. Consider Philippians 1, 3 through 4. He said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you always. Devotion to prayer. Praying for all the saints. And so you're included. But praying for ourselves, it's easy. It's easy. We know our needs. The challenge is being willing to love and know our congregation and the Christians that God has put around us purposefully with the intention to lift them up in prayer. And I know sometimes we're private. And some prayer requests maybe should not be expressed and should be kept private, confidential. But by all means, if you want people that have their prayers answered and heard to go before God for you on your behalf, ask them to pray for you. Ask them to pray for you. Again, would we be surprised if we don't have something we have not asked God for? Well, let's give a few minutes we're going to give to verse 19 and 18 where we see Paul's ancient prayer request here. Paul wasn't so secret. He let his prayer request be known. This is what was put in God's prayer journal. Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is Paul's prayer request. But this is evidence that Paul has zero self-reliance right now and complete, full dependence upon God. What does he want? He wants the Ephesian church to pray for him, that he would be given utterance. He doesn't want to depend on his own words. He wants the word of God to come out of him. And it's necessary because he's talking about the gospel. And he's already made an argument that the gospel is this mystery. It's something that needs to be revealed by God. And so he asked for God to give him words that he would open his mouth and that he would speak with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So he's also asking God to be the revealing agent. Because Paul knows that no matter what he does, no matter how good he explains salvation, it's still a spiritual thing that's dependent upon God to save sinners. And so Paul asks for help with this. And he points to who he is in Christ. He is an ambassador in chains. In Philippians he says that he clings to that which has taken hold of him. He's an ambassador in chains. This is his duty. This is his life, to preach the gospel. And he knows that if he's going to do it in a way that's going to honor Christ and give glory to his Savior, he needs to preach the gospel in a way that God would have him preach it, and according to the boldness that only God can give him. Because Paul was beat, chased, lowered in basket. His life was hard. But he didn't want to give up. And we shouldn't want to give up either. Have you ever wanted this? Have you ever wanted God's word and not your word to come out in evangelism? Have you ever wanted God's boldness and not, you know, your courage, that, you know, our courage is here one day and it's gone the next? Have you ever wanted that? Have you ever wanted the gospel to be revealed to people? Well then, why can we not go to the throne of grace and ask the same things? I can tell you this, beloved. Paul's prayer, it was answered. It was answered. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, listen to what Paul writes. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He finished his race. His prayer request was answered. Take that ledger out. Take that prayer book out and put a check on this one and say, complete, answered, heard. Do you keep track of God's, or do you keep track of prayer requests? I would encourage you, it's a good thing to do. Because then when God answers it, you can go and you can write down exactly when. There are some people that have jars that are filled with answered prayer. And every time God answers a prayer, you put it on like a little note card and you put it in there and you can just see how God answers prayer. God's faithful. And what does it do? It reminds you to keep going to Him. Hey, He answers prayer. I'm going to keep going. Has He answered your prayer? Is it because He cannot, or is it because He just has not yet? Beloved, this is Paul's call for the church to stand against Satan, but also stand in prayer, holding each other up in prayer as we hold our ground in Christ, not giving any ground to the wickedness of this world. But in light of all of this, beloved, in light of all of this, our call to with all prayer go to Him, at all times go to Him, with all perseverance go to Him, and for all the saints go to Him. Let us go to Him now as we bring this message to an end. Remember, we're going to a throne of grace right now. It is my special privilege right now, as we, as a congregation, are presented before the God of heaven. And the congregation sits quietly and listens to whoever it is that's praying. And one representative from the congregation goes and makes the request known. Whenever that happens, that is what is happening spiritually. So when we come and we're quiet, Brother Owen prays before we enter a time of worship, that's what it is. It is Newberry Community Church, all formed and ready, presented to God Almighty, and one person goes out in front and makes the request known. And then we pray for the offering. Brother Chris comes as a representative and he prays. And we're quiet and we listen. And like David, we wait for what God is going to do. So when we go in corporate prayer, that's what's happening right now. It's not magic, but it's very real. Very real. So in the same attitude of Hebrews 4:16, we will approach this throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, I'm going to read the verse and I'm going to pray for us. After that, we have the blessed privilege of going before the Lord in a time of worship through communion. But listen to Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father in heaven, You settle all of our needs. As the great psalmist said, we have no need because of our great shepherd. But yet, throughout the day and throughout our lives, as these come up, we will present them to You. And according to Your will, according to Your plan, You will answer our prayer. It is a blessed privilege for us to be able to come to You in prayer right now, Father. And You listen to our prayer intently, just as any of our prayers. You care for us deeply. You love us in a way that we see demonstrated with the cross of Christ. And so help us now, as we have set our mind to so much regarding prayer, help us to be greater at praying. Help our time and our practice of prayer to grow, and that it would not merely be practice, but that it would surely be praise. Help it to move away from being cold or routine, but help us to see the special privilege that we have to come before You in prayer and fill our hearts with joy and zeal that we would come to You all day long. That we'd remember to go to You in all things. That we'd remember to cast all of our cares upon You because You care for us. And so be with us, Lord, be with our congregation and all of the unspoken prayer that we have, but prayers that you surely know. Help us and teach us to be patient to wait for you to answer them with hearts that are content and hearts that are satisfied in you. And so, Father, be with us as we move from this time to now a time of communion. In Jesus' name, amen.